When the novel On the Road was published 45 years ago, it caused a sensation. Jack Kerouac's style approximated jazz riffs, its speed and urgency a rebuke to the button-down America of the 1950s. As part of the series present at the creation, NPR's Renee Montagne has this story.
Up until September of 1957, about the only thing Jack Kerouac had to show for On the Road was a pile of rejection slips. The manuscript was already 6 years old when Viking Press decided to take a chance on it. Jack Kerouac was struggling and so poor, his girlfriend Joyce Johnson had to loan him $35 for a bus ticket, which got him from his latest locale, Florida, to New York. She remembers they hurried to a newsstand at midnight to get the next morning's copy of the New York Times.
We saw the papers come off the truck. We took the first paper off the pile and opened it up and, standing right here, read the review.
Gilbert Milstein was the critic who wrote that review in the Times and spoke of it later in the documentary Kerouac.
I read the book and I was simply stunned. Simply stunned. I said then I believed that it was as perfect an expression of a generation as Hemingway's The Sun Also Rises was an expression of a generation of his time.
We were both sort of stunned. It was very, very, it was hard to take in. Jack read the review and looked at me and he said, it's good, isn't it? And I said, yes, it's very, very good. It's fantastic.
This rave review in the New York Times changed everything. Joyce Johnson remembers going back to their apartment and marveling.
You know, we were sort of in a daze. We could hardly believe that, you know, anything of this magnitude had happened. You know, Jack went to bed obscure and woke up famous.
Overnight, Jack Kerouac became the avatar of cool. In the public mind, he embodied both his fictional alter ego, Sal Paradise, and his muse, the hyped-up, sexed-up, beautiful jail kid intellectual, Dean Moriarty. Of Dean, who in real life was his best friend, Neil Cassady, Jack Kerouac wrote, "He spent a third of his time in the pool hall, a third in jail, and a third in the public library." Heady stuff for the gray flannel world of 1957. Better still, the book came with its own creation myth. Jack Kerouac said he wrote it in a single burst of inspiration, akin to a jazz improvisation, his instruments, a typewriter and a roll of teletype paper. Here, appearing on the David Letterman of his day, the Steve Allen Show.
Jack, got a couple of square questions, but I think the answer will be interesting. How long did it take you to write On the Road?
3 weeks.
How many?
3 weeks.
3 weeks? Geez, that's amazing. How long were you on the road itself?
7 years.
7 years. Well, I was on the road once for 3 weeks, and it took me 7 years to write about it. Or the other way around. I've heard that you write so fast that you don't like to use regular typing paper, but instead you prefer to use one big, long roll of paper. Is that true?
Yeah, foot-long teletype paper.
Oh, teletype rolls. Where do you get it?
Huh?
Where do you get
it?
It's a scroll, a typewritten scroll, that's it's approximately 120 feet long.
Jim Canary is head of conservation at Indiana University's Lilly Library. He made repairs to the fragile manuscript after it was bought by the owner of the Indianapolis Colts last year. The final bid was $2.4 million, a record at auction. But then this manuscript has the quality of a religious relic. The scroll seems to contain within itself the very act of creation.
He wanted to be able to just go uninterruptedly as much as possible, and it seems that that's what he's done. And there are basically no paragraph marks to speak of. It just goes and goes and goes.
So Dean and I raced on to the East Coast. One point, we drove a 1947 Cadillac limousine across the state of Nebraska at 110 miles an hour, beating hotshot passenger trains and steel wheel freights in one nervous, shuddering snap-up of the gas. We told stories and zoomed east.
Jack Kerouac was all about snap. Kerouac scholar Douglas Brinkley says he often said about his writing, first thought, best thought.
The problem is nobody saw the hard work of Jack Kerouac. People weren't studying his archives and plot outlines. They were getting just the product, the On the Road, written in a burst of combustible energy. That myth was so prevalent because that's a myth of all young people.
Young and wild, they certainly were when Jack Kerouac came to San Francisco to stay with Neil Cassady, the model for the fabulous outlaw Dean Moriarty, and Carolyn Cassady, and for a time famously shared his best friend's wife. Carolyn Cassady remembers watching Jack write. He was, she says, extremely disciplined and never went anywhere without his dime store notebook.
He did move around a lot, but of course he kept those little notebooks, so he was always making notes. And then when he'd get someplace where he could settle down for a few weeks or months, he would write like crazy, you know, on the road in 3 weeks. He just stayed with it and drank coffee and occasionally Benzedrine, but just a sort of dynamo. But he'd been collecting the notes and things all the time he was running around.
Those notebooks stayed in a vault for decades until a couple of years ago, his heirs released them to Kerouac scholar Doug Brinkley. He's in the middle of editing the journals for a book. He flips through pages and pages, revealing that Jack Kerouac effectively wrote on the road over a period of years, not weeks.
We rolled on across the dark pasture plains of the Delta South, playing more mystery programs on the radio. And he's naming every town they go through, and he does this all across America. And they're very detailed, written diaries. These aren't rewritten. These are just the drafts that he would keep on and on. Texas Rainy Night, Texas Thoughts. Here's Fargo, 30 Below.
Thus, On the Road was written in one era and became the voice of another. By the time Jack Kerouac, the author, was crowned King of the Beats, it had been a decade since he first wrote about being on the road. His beat characters actually hit the road in 1947, just after World War II, long before beatniks with their beards and bongos became the butt of jokes. Carolyn Cassady says Jack Kerouac was, deep down, a conservative and a patriot who disdained the disaffected youth culture his own book helped spawn. And Joyce Johnson thinks celebrity was the worst thing that could have happened to him.
We'd go to parties and people would sort of descend on him like a crowd of piranhas, I felt. So they wanted to tear him limb from limb. And, you know, all the women wanted him to make love to them. And all the men wanted to fight him. People kept sort of mixing him up with Neil Cassady. And actually, Jack, you know, was quite introverted and shy in various ways. So in order to sort of live up to this image, it involved a lot of drink, to the point where he finally sort of broke down one night and said, I don't know who I am anymore.
You know, he was so sensitive and just so disillusioned that this is what had come of his writing. Ugh, broke his heart.
In the end, Jack Kerouac drank himself to death, far from the road, 47 years old and living with his mother. Kerouac scholar Douglas Brinkley says he never quite recovered from the mythology he helped create and still endures.
Kerouac has become considered an anti-establishment writer. Great pity, because today, if you read On the Road, it's a Valentine to the United States. All this is pure poetry for almost a boy's love of his country that's just gushing in its adjectives and descriptions of his excitement of seeing places like Kansas. And, you know, Kerouac used to say, anybody can make Paris holy, but I can make Topeka holy.
So, in America, when the sun goes down, and I sit on the old broken-down river pier watching the long, long skies over New Jersey, and sense all that raw land that rolls in one unbelievable huge bulge over to the West Coast, and all that road going, and all the people dreaming in the immensity of it.
Jack Kerouac reading the last page of On the Road. To this day, more than 120,000 copies are sold each year, making the book that celebrated the moment one for the ages. I'm Renee Montaigne, NPR News.